Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poretz from Ingenuity Coaching, and we have a very special a short show tonight. I'm going to talk to Jerry Fallow, the Administrator of Public Affairs for Hoboken, and Jerry has coordinated a series of Sounds of Sinatra weekends every summer to celebrate the life of Hoboken-born Frank Sinatra, including an annual Sinatra Idol Contest. For this, the centennial year of Sinatra's birth, which is coming up on December 12th, I thought we'd talk to Jerry, find out about what makes Sinatra so special to Hoboken and what her role is in the making of the celebration. And we'll talk about the various events happening in June and December to celebrate 100 years of Frank Sinatra. And full disclosure, as I've mentioned on the show, I'm also an entertainer. I will be one of the 15 participants in this year's Sinatra Idol. Jerry, are you with me?
I am, Andrew. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here.
I'm excited to be here.
This is great. So I have been in contact with you for quite a while, but this is the first time I've ever heard your voice.
That is true.
And the first time you've heard mine, except for that you've heard a video of me singing.
That is true. And you're quite good.
Well, thank you very much. And now it's about my modesty, which is one of my more perfect qualities. So I understand that although you didn't grow up in Hoboken, you were born there.
Yes, I was. Yeah, my dad and his, my dad's side of the family is from Hoboken, and I was there. I lived there for about 8 or 9 months at that time. This was back then, and then they moved to the suburbs. And then I went back, in the 80s, and I've been there ever since. And I really felt drawn there. I just, whatever my family connection was, I just felt that I needed to go back. And I've loved it, and still love it here.
And your grandparents came from Sicily, moved to Hoboken, and your grandfather had a candy store in Hoboken on Madison Street, and Frank Sinatra used to stop in there when he was a boy and in high school.
That is correct. Yeah, my dad, I guess, worked for my grandfather at the candy store, and he said Frank would come in all the time, to get, chewing gum or cigarettes or something, And so, and my grandparents were, everybody in Hoboken, Hoboken's a small town, so everybody kind of knew each other. My grandparents, were friendly with Dolly and the Sinatra family at the time. They used to barbecue, I guess, in the backyard or something. This is what I was told, but, who knows? Maybe my grandmother made that up. I don't know. happened is when my grandfather, closed the business, apparently, again, this is what I was told, was that Dolly took over the space and made it into some kind of a social club.
So that it gives you a big kind of a connection into the Sinatra close quarters legacy from Hoboken.
Right, yes, yeah. So, I have some kind of a connection there.
Sure.
But I think anybody who lived here, for any extended period of time, I guess back then, there's a connection. Everybody has a Sinatra connection.
Hoboken today is a pretty happening town. It's very vibrant, very lively. It's a really fun, great place for people who live there. It's a wonderful place to spend time in. And I can still remember the very first time I went there, which was long before it got really revitalized, and it still had that sort of on-the-waterfront feel.
Really?
Many moons ago.
When was that?
Oh, I mean, a few decades ago, and it wasn't yet there. It was like, Hoboken, it's like, we're working on it. And I just remember I was on a blind date or something, and this young lady said, "This is where Sinatra was born." She showed me the house that was still there at the time.
Right.
I think he had like 3 different addresses, but that's it. So I've always had those 2 affinities for Hoboken, one being Sinatra and one being on the waterfront, because I'm also a big Brando fan.
Oh. And that's it. Been running the cultural affairs office here in Hoboken for the last 20, 21 years, and So, you know, anything that was connected to Hoboken is very, very meaningful, including, you know, on the waterfront. So this was many, many years ago. Out of the blue, I get this phone call from Bud Schulberg, who wrote On the Waterfront.
Yes.
And, you know, just calls me up out of the blue because he'd seen an article in the New York Times about, we were going to build Pierre Park, which at that, you know, which had been the pier where they did a lot of the filming for On the Waterfront. So he calls me up and says, you know, Bud Schulberg, I wrote On the Waterfront, and I want to come down and I want to see what you're doing, you know, to this land where we used to film the movie.
Sure.
And so he came, and I gave him a tour, and he became such a friend of Hoboken. He came here so many times. He did, you know, interviews, and we would show the movie. He'd do Q&A. We had a 90th birthday party for him. He just, you know, really just was so happy to come back here and to share, you know, all his experiences and, you know, just to be really part of what was happening here. He was a really sweet man. He wanted at the time for us to take On the Waterfront and do it as a play, which I guess originally it was a play, and he wanted us to do that kind of every year at Pierre Park, you know, sort of as this, you know, sort of making it a memorial kind of production, you know, on the site. We have over the years, the play has been done, I think, two or three times. It was done, you know, at Sinatra Park, though, not at Pierre Park. But, you know, we have tried to periodically have someone come and do a staged reading of it. But we do show the movie quite often at our Movies Under the Stars series. So,
well, here's my On the Waterfront line. Charlie, well, my brother, you should have been looking out for me a little bit. I could have been
good.
A contender, Charlie. Okay, that's my On the Waterfront.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much.
You're doing a really good Brando.
Thank you very much. But
I would try to jump in and, you know, do something, but I'm not that good.
Okay, that's okay, you know. But how did you wind
I do, I'm
up?
Behind the scenes. I like to be behind the scenes.
Okay. Behind the scenes is good. And speaking of which, how did you wind up being the administrator of public affairs? Where did this come?
Oh, okay. And it's administrative cultural affairs.
Cultural affairs. What?
Cultural affairs. Yes.
Cultural affairs is even more better.
Even better,
the English
right?
Major.
Even better. Cultural
yes.
affairs.
Cultural affairs.
Yeah. So, gosh, how did that all start? I loved organizing events, and when I first came back here, you know, apparently much to my parents, They were kind of horrified. We moved out of there. Hoboken's not a nice place. And we moved out and moved to the suburbs to get you away from there. And I'm saying, no, you don't understand. Things are changing. It's becoming this wonderful cultural place, and there's artists and musicians everywhere. So, of course, I was drawn here, and I came back, and I just got involved. I volunteered for different organizations and, you know, did art events. And then I even started my own organization, which was showing movies. And we would show movies in the back room of different, you know, bars in town, and Maxwell's being one of them, you know, Maxwell's being quite the icon itself these days. And I did a series there for many years, and then I did it at the Shannon, and we'd have fundraisers and all kinds of things. And apparently, at this time when I was hired, there was a new administration, and one of the council people said, you know, hey, we should really reestablish the Cultural Affairs Office because there's so many artists and musicians in town, and we need someone to, you know, represent the arts in this community. And there hadn't been a Cultural Affairs Office probably for a decade or something. So I just get this call out of the blue, and it was Councilman David Roberts, and he said, you know, I'm calling because the city's going to reestablish this office, and they want to know if you want to, you know, run it. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, you know, we'll pay you. And I was like, well, you mean I'll get paid to do this? And I'm just, like, laughing, thinking, like, oh, my God, somebody's going to pay me to do what I love. I mean, how crazy is that? And, you know, I took the job, and some of the rest is history. I kind of, you know, made it up as I went along. You know, I kind of went in there and I said, well, mm-hmm. so what do you guys want me to do? And they just said, I don't know, do what you do. And, you know, I just thought, okay. And I was just like, okay, well, we'll put concerts here, we'll put movies there, and, you know. So, yeah, just I've kind of built this Megilla, I guess, you know, and it just seems to keep growing.
Well, that's very cool. So let's talk about the Sinatra celebrations that are going on. And in particular, how did the Sinatra Idol get started?
Oh, that's fun. That's a fun little story.
Okay.
So, all right, so here I am. I've got this job. And, you know, every summer we do concerts outside. We show movies outside, whatever. And what started to happen is that, you know, obviously different bands or performers would contact me, you know, wanting to perform either at the Art and Music Festival or at the concerts, say, hey, you know, I sing and I do this. Well, it just seemed like there were so many performers out there doing Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, and every once in a while, you know, I would schedule somebody. They would sing in the park. They'd sing Sinatra. But there were so many of them that wanted to do it. And I thought, wow, you know, wouldn't it just be fun to kind of have them all in the same place at the same time, you know, performing? And, of course, American Idol was sort of, you know, becoming so big. And I thought, well, you know, why don't we just do one and have it all be about Sinatra? And that's really kind of happened, you know. So we did it once, and it was seemed to be a huge success, and we just kept doing it. So now we're in our ninth year, and, you know, so it's kind of fun. I mean, what we're going to do next year will be the 10th year. After that, what I want to do for the 11th year is get all the past winners and have them compete against each other, so kind of the best of the best kind of thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll really be fun. And it's just been such a pleasure, you know, meeting, you know, all of these singers. I mean, their love for Sinatra and his music is just, you know, it touches my heart so much because I've become such a fan. And, you know, I just love what it means to them. You know, and some of them, the stories that they'll tell you, I mean, how singing Sinatra's music really changed their lives.
Absolutely. I always tell people that I heard Frank for the first time in the womb.
Oh, really?
Oh, my mom was one of those Bobby Soxers you hear about. You know, she was one of those young girls who went scream at Sinatra in the early 40s at the Paramount.
Right. Yes, my mom too. My mom too. But it's funny because, you know, my parents would listen to Sinatra at home. I was not a Sinatra fan growing up by any means. And I really didn't, you know, appreciate it until I moved back here. For some reason, it just took on a whole new meaning for me. And I just, you know, I just love it. I love his music so much, and it really didn't happen until I moved back here, you know, as a grown-up.
No, I was from, you know, childhood on, although I had my Beatlemaniac years.
Oh, yeah, sure, me too, yep.
And, you know, the 60s, 70s rock and roll, and I played in a rock and roll band.
Oh, okay,
And the best part
Then when did you start singing Sinatra?
Well, it wasn't really until much later, you know, when I really started singing, and I taught myself to sing using Sinatra records.
Okay, yeah.
So
I've
I would
heard
just
that
replicate
lot.
That. But the really funny thing is my brother and I were in a band together, you know, growing up, and I moved away, and he became, he really took it on to another level and looked like he was going to be, you know, this big rock star guy. And
wow.
I took him. I went to see Sinatra in 1975. I was 19 years old.
You actually saw Sinatra?
7 times.
Wow.
So Sinatra 7 times. But the first time, I was 19, and at the age of 19 in 1975, nobody was very interested in going to see Frank Sinatra with me. So I'd ask, you know, a nice young lady, would you like to go to a concert? Sure, who's playing? Frank Sinatra? I wound up out of desperation. I took my brother.
Oh, really?
My mother said, "Why don't you take your brother?" Yeah, I said, "Okay, fine," you know. And this was like a $40 ticket in 1975. It was at the time, I probably the most than any ticket ever cost to see anybody. You know, that's where tickets were like $10 for most shows, $12 if it was
right.
a big
yeah,
show.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
$40 was insane. And he did,
yeah,
like, he did
yeah.
like 10 or 11 shows or something, like 12-night run or something. And so I got these tickets for opening night. And I took my brother. And, you know, it was a black tie audience, but we didn't know anything about this. We showed up in our leisure suits. It was very embarrassing. But really, we were like the two sorest of sore thumbs. And everywhere you looked was somebody more famous than the person next to them. It was Jackie Onassis and Candice Bergen and Sammy Kahn and all these amazing people.
These people were all at the show?
Yeah, it was like and Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald was, you know, those were the. It was just an incredible night. Incredible,
wow.
incredible night.
Wow.
And my brother, the rock star, was like, "Oh, who is this guy? I gotta." So, fast forward decades later, my brother today does Sinatra shows. He does. He sings standards. He'll do things like Sinatra and Darren doing, you know, if they did a show together. And he's been in the Rat Pack, is back, you know.
Wow.
Shows, and he's done big band show, and he uses all Sinatra charts, and he's quite a well-known performer in the Bay Area. And that's what he does. The rock star, he's now a Sinatra guy. And
right,
so it's all my fault.
And it's all your fault.
It's all my fault. I did this.
Well, think about it. Like, what was recently Bob Dylan released this, like, crooner record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought? I've always been a huge Bob Dylan fan, and, like, I was like, what is he doing?
Well, Dylan was actually the first major concert I ever went to, Dylan and the band in the Garden.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And the really funny thing is I, for years, have done a bit of Dylan doing Sinatra.
Oh,
and
no.
Dylan has
really?
Now ruined it for me. I can no longer, but, you know, I would do, like, you know, oh, night and day, you know. And now he's actually doing this. It's like, come on, you've ruined my whole act.
Right, right. Yeah, he's doing it himself, but you can't do it anymore.
It's like, come on, man. This is just not right.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I know.
That is amazing. I think even Neil Young did something similar. His last record, it came with two CDs. It came with the one CD is Neil doing his, you know, Neil songs as Neil would do them. And then the second CD is Neil doing them, like, with a big swing band.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? The same songs. Well, he's doing them as he would normally do them, and then he's doing them as if he's like a crooner. I'm like, what?
Well, Jimmy Fallon must have gone out of his mind from this whole thing.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Fallon does the world's greatest Neil Young impression.
Oh, doesn't he, though? Oh, man.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, he really does.
I especially
brilliant.
Like when they do it together, when he does it with Neil Young.
Oh, my God.
Which is like, you know, mine
right.
makes my mind explode.
Right.
So
and
tell
think about
me now.
What's
that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So just let's talk about what
I was
is,
still on Jimmy Fallon.
I know. Well, we could go on about Jimmy Fallon. He's very he does some really. I don't know which I like better his
Neil Young or Springsteen. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
But I'm thinking maybe the greatest thing Fallon ever did in this genre was the Neil Young doing Pants on the Ground.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen that, you have to go watch that.
I have
you know what
seen
I'm talking
it.
About?
I do. I know exactly what you're
oh
talking about. Oh, my God.
It's just mind-blowingly funny.
Yeah.
But now back to Hoboken and Sinatra.
It's Sinatra.
So coming up, so this is a huge year. So if you're a Frank Sinatra fan,
right?
As many
Hoboken
of us are,
Mecca.
Hoboken is Mecca, and this is 100.
Now,
it's hard
you know
for
what
me
really
to believe.
Mecca, Vegas is probably Mecca, really. If you think
well,
about
Vegas
it,
is Mecca for the later, you know, for the swinging '60s and '70s Sinatra.
Right, right. Hoboken is like where he was born, so if you really want to come back to the birthplace, Right, you come to Hoboken.
That's right. And if you go one town over into Jersey City, you know what's amazing to me in Jersey City, the Lowe's. Have you been to that?
Oh yeah, sure.
That is the theater where he once, as a teenager, walked in with Nancy Barbato. I don't know how to say her name. Barbato, Barbato.
Right.
With Nancy.
Right.
Well, Frank Nancy walked in with his then girlfriend to see Bing Crosby, and he said, I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to be like that. And he did. He actually
did.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he went to that theater where Bing Crosby was doing a tour, and he at the time, you know, they played music.
Right.
He saw him there and made the decision to become Frank Sinatra, as opposed to
how
just Frank Sinatra.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's really great.
See, I loaned you something.
You did. You did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was. Like,
and do you know that
17.
one of the judges is somehow related to Sinatra?
Really?
For our contest. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
think she's related, like, on Nancy's side.
Ah.
I think she's on that side of the family. So, you know, so I don't know. Does that make her?
A singer-in-law.
Yeah,
I have no idea what that
yeah,
makes.
I don't know what that is. But,
she
still lives, you know, I guess she lives in Hoboken now, but I guess she was from Jersey City.
Oh, by the way, the other thing I forgot to mention, the third thing I think about when I think of
what?
Hoboken is Bugs Bunny.
Bugs? Oh.
Hoboken.
I know why.
I'm
know.
Dying. Okay. That's he winds up in Hoboken after he makes a left in Albuquerque. I don't know how this happens, but
that's right.
A frequent reference in Bugs Bunny is Hoboken.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much. So, so it's Sinatra's 100th year. If had he been alive today, he would be turning 100 on December 12th.
He would be. And, that's correct, right?
Yes. And which is, you know, a huge day for Sinatra fans every year, but this is a particular one. And so now we have 2 weekends.
Wait! I just found it. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
This just
but
in.
Just in is that I guess Dale Monaco, who is the you know, the judge who is related.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so apparently her grandmother Josie was Dolly's sister.
Wow.
So she is related to Frank, you know, to Frank.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's not. It's not. It's not Nancy. She's on the Frank side.
Oh.
So there you go. Anyway, I just had to clear that up.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, back to. I'm sorry to interrupt your train of thought.
That's all right. So we have two big weekends in Hoboken. Two big chunks of time. So coming up in a week and a half is the Sounds of Sinatra.
Yeah.
So I know about this, but pretend I don't. So tell me about this.
Pretend you don't know.
For our listeners.
Oh, come on. you're talking to me. I know you know, but no, I'm kidding.
Hey, you're talking to me.
I'm talking to me. You're talking
okay.
to me. so the reason that we're doing it this summer, because his birthday's not until December 12th,
mm-hmm.
Is that we are cultural affairs, but we don't really have, like a big auditorium space
right.
that we use on a regular basis. So
mm-hmm.
really when we come alive in the summer because we have the city parks.
Yeah.
And so what better time for us to do this grand celebration is in summer. And, of course, since we have Sinatra Idol and we've been doing that, and I just figured why not connect the two and make a whole big weekend out of it because, you know, certainly there'll be, you know, the contestants will be there coming on Thursday night, so some of them will stick around for Friday, Saturday, and maybe even Sunday. So I just thought, well, let's just make a whole weekend out of it because, you know, you figure his birthday is in December. It's cold. Where am I going to do all this? You know, it's so much easier for me to just do it, you know, in June.
Absolutely.
But you know what? It's the centennial year. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I've been reading things since January. There's exhibits everywhere and, you know, concerts and some, you know, it's a whole year of Sinatra. That's really what it is.
Yeah, I understand there's a big thing in the Lincoln Center Library in New York of, you know, artifacts or some sort of exhibit that's going on right now.
That is correct. Yes, I heard that. And we also have an exhibit that's coming to the Hoboken Library. And I think that that's also coming in June, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's I'd have to look it up. So I'm sure I'll get back to you later in the conversation about that.
No, it's okay. So now, we have the Sinatra Idol, which is Thursday, June 11th. And
right.
Then I know the finale is on Sunday.
That's correct.
And in between, you have all kinds of things going on. So give me a few samples.
Okay. Well, even we're starting actually on Wednesday, believe it or not.
I did not know that.
You see? I'm learning things tonight. You're learning things. We're learning things from each other, Andrew.
That's great. This is terrific.
Well, Movies Under the Stars on Wednesday, June 10th, is showing Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, you know, the whole Rat Pack. So we figured we'd start off, you know, doing that, and then, of course, Sinatra Idol on Thursday, and then, boy, Friday and Saturday, just chock full. We have over 40 Sinatra vocalists who will be in Hoboken, and we have them scheduled to perform in about, I think it's 17 different locations at different times throughout the 2 days, some in the afternoon, some in the evening. So, you know, I'm still busy putting the schedule together, but it's going to be amazing. You know, there'll be some of the performances will be, you know, at local community centers. Some will be in the parks outside. Some will be in, you know, a coffee shop. Some will be in a local bar. Yeah, it's just crazy.
So this is like
everywhere you turn, you will hear Sinatra somewhere in Hoboken.
Hoboken will be this world in which everybody is Frank. It seems
yes,
that way.
It's
the opposite
like
of like an Elvis
right.
weekend.
Well, you know, we did think of, you know, renting a plane and doing like flying Franks, you know.
Oh wow.
You know, did you ever hear about the Flying Elvi?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, from the Honeymoon in Vegas movie.
Yes, right. So we came up with all these other ideas, but, you know, I mean, there's only so much time in a day, and
yeah.
I do need to sleep sometime.
And they would all jump out in tuxedos.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I can make this happen, I think on Sunday, of course, I haven't told, you know, any of the performers this yet, but I'm imagining them parading from Stevens and coming down Fifth Street and marching into Sinatra Park while the band is, you know, playing, you know, something. I think that might be kind of fun,
but every one of them needs to be finger snapping. It's very important.
And wearing fedoras.
And doing the shoulder move, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
As Sinatra showed Elvis on that special.
That's right. Yeah. So I mean, some of these things may not happen this particular weekend, but in my mind, I'm imagining like a parade, you know, of thousands of Sinatras just marching down Washington Street, you know. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, this is going to be grand enough, I think. Having all
I think
performers.
It's going to be plenty grand.
And then culminating on Sunday night, June 14th, with the Swingadelic Big Band, and we'll have that'll be a two-hour concert with some of the past Sinatra Idol winners singing with the band, and then having everybody come up on the stage, you know, all the singers, and doing a big finale of New York, New York.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic to do a New York, New York. It's sort of like the New York Giants play in New Jersey. You know, and you're having the Hoboken, and you're singing about New York. So there needs to be a Jersey song, don't you think so?
Oh, well, but you know, this does make sense, only because we're, you know, Sinatra Park is on the Hudson with the most amazing view of Manhattan.
That is true. That it is,
and you don't see that when you're in New York.
In fact, that's something I've told people this, that if you really want to see New York, you have to go to New Jersey.
That's right. So, I mean, think about how grand that's going to be. I'm just picturing, like, all of you, you know, in Sinatra Park with this beautiful view of the Empire State Building, and you're all singing New York, New York. It's going to be like as if you're at, you know, one of those baseball games and everybody's singing Sweet Caroline.
Yes.
Right, 20,000 people, you know, singing New York, New York. I mean, that's, you know.
And will the audience be invited to sing as well?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Maybe not on the stage, but I think
that would be a very collapsed stage if that happened.
Yeah. And then nobody will be watching. So
right. And will you have Will you have the contestants do a little bit of a kick line kind of a thing?
Oh, I would love that.
That would be good.
It would be really good. It would be really good. And you know, there's always been a cafe down there, and for a couple of years it wasn't open, and someone took over the lease recently.
Mm. Oh, good.
And they're calling it Blue Eyes.
Well, that's perfect.
Isn't that great?
That
is. So we're excited
perfect.
About that they're open, and so that'll add another bit of excitement to the whole thing, you know.
So I know that there's so much going on next week, you know, in June. So what is happening though for around the actual December? I understand that some things are happening for that as well.
Well, I'll also tell you what's happening. I have two other things going on for the, you know, during the summer.
Okay, please.
Aside, can I do that first?
Yes.
Okay. So on July 15th, we're showing another movie outside. We're showing The Manchurian Candidate, which is one of my favorites. And then this will be very interesting. As our regular Thursday night concert series at Sinatra Park, there was a band that came out of Hoboken. It came out of a bunch of rock musicians, you know, getting together and fooling around one night. And they loved Sinatra. They, you know, they were living in Hoboken now. But they also loved, you know, ska music, and they started doing, you know, they're all sitting around drinking, and all of a sudden they're doing Sinatra ska, and one of them says, hey, you know, maybe we should, you know, take this on the road. And so they came up with Sinatra.
Wow.
And they did that for many years, you know, even opening up for bands like The Specials, you know. And they're going to do a reunion. They haven't done this in quite a few years, and this summer they're going to do a reunion concert of Sinatra at Sinatra Park. So we're kind of looking forward to that. There's a lot of people here, you know, over the years that became real fans of theirs. So we're looking forward to that. But now let's, you know, move forward to his birthday, which is December 12th. We are planning a special concert, but we are still kind of working on that. I don't have too much detail, except that I'm working with the Hoboken Historic Museum and Stevens Institute of Technology, and they're giving us one of their, you know, big indoor spaces. And we are going to do a really special concert up there for the birthday. Plus, our city clerk here at City Hall, every year, he's been doing this since I've been here, so I'm sure he was doing it before I got here. He always has a birthday party in his office and, you know, invites the press and the public, and he has this huge birthday cake. And I think last year, you know, he gets Buddy to make the cake, you know, Carlos Bakery, and, you know, they always have a birthday party for Frank. So that's always fun. And the museum, actually, I think starting in August, the second half of it, they'll do August through December, they're doing a special exhibit, which will actually celebrate the Sinatra fans. So that'll be rather interesting. And I think they're going to highlight the Sinatra Idol singers and a lot of the singers that will be performing over the weekend.
Oh, great.
So that's going to be interesting. you know, how they put that together. But they just wanted to do something, you know, they know there's other, you know, other organizations that are doing, you know, Sinatra, you know, history and memorabilia.
Sure.
And they wanted to be more, you know, well, what can we do that's more on a local level? And so
sure.
They said, you know, what about the fans, you know? I mean, you know, nobody becomes really as big as they are without having fans. And the fans are really just like, you know, like Deadheads and Springsteen,
mm-hmm.
you know, he kind of celebrates his fans. So hence they're going to, you know, that's going to be the main focus of their exhibit.
By the way, I have a friend of mine who is my brother's biggest fan out in California, named Elena Griffiths. And Elena was once the head of the Sinatra fan club, and she, you know, back in the day, and I mean, and if you saw her house, she has every possible thing that could be connected to Sinatra, including many pictures with Frank. She knew him personally, and she was at so many of the shows. And every year she has a big event at, I believe it's at his former residence in Palm Springs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's an amazing force of energy in her late 80s and still very active in making this. And that scene, she's going to be very proud of me when I show her pictures of my participation.
Right. And you winning the Sinatra.
Exactly. I'm already projecting. Absolutely.
Yeah, and
so,
you know what? Just so that you know, I don't get to vote.
I know. Otherwise, I don't think I could have you on the show. That would be very
That's right.
much
yeah.
of a
yeah.
conflict of interest. So last thing I wanted to ask you, and I know you have to get going, but have you at all heard from the Sinatra family? Have they had any comment or participation in any of this?
Not in the things that I've been working on. I
mm-hmm.
think, though, that and I heard, I don't know how true this is, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're still working on trying to get them to come out to the library when this traveling exhibit is going to have a, you know, it'll be here in Hoboken, I think, for a month or two. And I heard that there was a possibility that one of them may come out for kind of the opening of that. So I'm hoping that that does take place, because it would be great to have one of them be here for
sure.
something that we're doing, you know. So
I did
the other
post
thing,
on the Sinatra family. They have a Sinatra family website, and they, you know, you could talk. What do you call that?
You know, I've reached out, but I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from anybody.
Okay.
You know, so I have, you know, emailed them to let them know what we're doing, but you know, just haven't heard. The other thing that might happen is that the post office, I think, is going to do, you know, like a cancellation stamp, you know, for his birthday, and they've had pretty good luck in the past at getting, you know, someone to come out whenever they've done that, because they did it once before. I can't remember. Maybe was there a Sinatra stamp? Maybe
there was a Sinatra stamp. I have a bunch of them, as a matter of fact. It was not a super early, like maybe there were more than one picture, but it was a youngish Sinatra, not the later one.
Because maybe they came out for that, or maybe when the post office was renamed. I know they came when we opened up Sinatra Park. We named it Sinatra Park, and they, you know, they came out for the kind of ribbon cutting of that park. And I think somebody may have come out. Tina may have come out when they did. They renamed the post office, like, you know, the Hoboken Sinatra Post Office or something, you know. So, but, you know, I know, like, I've reached out for these events and just haven't gotten a response. But Tina performed here, not Tina, Nancy. We had Nancy at the Art and Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
Maybe about 10 years ago. And she came out with a band and, you know, did These Boots Are Made for Walking and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was really fun. And I thought of maybe having her, you know, come out in the fall. We have another art and music festival. And I thought, well, you know, this might be the year to have her come back, you know.
Well, it's definitely a big year, and I hope she makes it to something.
Oh, I hope so. I do.
Maybe
hope
we could all send her a note over at Sirius, because she always puts
that's
out her
a good
address
idea.
There. Yeah, she always says, you know, if you have any requests, write to me at Sirius. And
well, you know what? We should start like a campaign.
Yeah.
You know, all the singers that are participating next weekend, write to her and say, "Hey, when are you coming to Hoboken?"
I think that's a great idea.
All right. Well, you start that. You know, actually, we
I'm
could
starting.
Talk about that when everybody's here, you know.
Yes.
That would be fun. That would be so fun. It would be amazing if she would come. That would be lovely. She's really lovely. I mean, when we met her, you know, when she came and performed here, she just couldn't be more gracious. She just, every fan that came, you know, like backstage, you know, and waited in line to meet her, she greeted every single one.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I know. I thought so, too. I just thought that is really sweet.
I never got to meet her dad.
No, me either.
Although I did, I got to see him. And, and I did once, after a concert, this is like a funny little thing. I was at, there's a piano bar I've gone to for decades called Mimi's in the city. And right while I was singing a song, I see a limousine pulling up outside of the old Rocky Lee's, which is long gone, you know, Italian restaurant. I think it was owned by, was it Rocky Graziano or somebody? Anyways, it was one of those favorite haunts of Sinatra. And he pulled, it was after a Carnegie Hall concert that I had just come from. And there comes this limousine pulling up. And a bunch of people come out, and there's Frank Sinatra, and they just went into this place and went up to some private room, and I was just flabbergasted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I like, just come over here, Frank, come across the street and sing with me. No, that didn't happen. But
you did not.
I did yell into the microphone, but he didn't hear me. I don't know. would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been. That would have been incredible, right?
Okay, wow. you take it, kid. All right. Anyway.
Right.
Ring-a-ding-ding, baby. I got to go get a pizza. It would have been a lot of fun. This is as close as
man.
I came. Well, anyway, Jerry Fowler, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your insanely busy schedule to talk to me. And I'm so looking forward to the Sinatra Idol, the Sounds of Sinatra, and all the stuff that's happening in Hoboken, New Jersey, from now you're telling me from the 10th of June to the 14th of June.
Yes, that is correct. Andrew, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. I really
enjoyed very welcome.
Chatting with you, and I look forward to meeting you next week.
Me too. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you soon here on Coach's Corner. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.